Welcome to Bullish, a podcast about the incredible world of Bitcoin, blockchain, and crypto. Bullish is made by me, Rob Finch, a crypto entrepreneur who first dove down the Bitcoin rabbit hole back in 2013. Since then, I've been a part of dozens of blockchain ecosystems and have run several of my own crypto companies. On Bullish, I'll take you down the rabbit hole on a variety of crypto-related topics, from dystopian futures like Bitcoin citadels to macro analysis of crypto markets and current events. No matter what project you support or which bags you hold, one thing is for sure: the future for crypto is bullish. In this episode of Bullish, I will discuss investing to some degree, but nothing I say should ever be taken as legal, financial, tax, professional, or any other kind of advice. It's also important for me to note that a few tokens I mention in this episode are tokens that I own for public disclosure purposes. These tokens are EOS, Bitcoin, and DAP. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only, so enjoy.
Hey man, you're into Bitcoin. What do you think is the next big crypto investment? What's the next Bitcoin?
This is a question I'm asked regularly, and a question I never answer for a variety of reasons. Whether I'm online, on Telegram or Twitter, or at a conference, undoubtedly I will be asked this question a number of times, and today I'm finally going to touch on it in a different way. In part, I believe the next great crypto investment may not be one project or one protocol. Instead, I think it may be an entire category, an entire layer of the crypto stack that, up until this point, has been largely missing. This missing layer is middleware. The blockchain encyclopedia, known as Everipedia, defines middleware as:
middleware is computer software that provides services to software applications beyond those available from the operating system. It can be described as software glue. Middleware makes it easier for software developers to implement communication and input-output so they can focus on the specific purpose of their application.
It goes on to give more specific examples of what middleware actually is.
Middleware includes web servers, application servers, content management systems, and similar tools that support application development and delivery.
The middleware layer of the internet has been one of the most profitable for entrepreneurs and investors, but is also a layer that most people have no idea exists. Billions of humans on this planet use the internet and internet applications, but have absolutely no idea how any layer of the internet stack functions. In short, the internet can be broken down into four primary layers that allow us to live in an incredibly connected world today. These are the protocol layer, the infrastructure layer, the middleware layer, and the layer most people interact with on a daily basis, the application layer. Blockchain ecosystems that have emerged over the past several years have taken a similar approach with structuring the various layers of the ecosystem stack. Up first, on the internet, the protocol layer is made up of HTTP and TCP/IP. You can think of it as the foundation of a large building, with pilings driving down hundreds of meters into the crust of the earth for stability. After all, without a solid foundation, you cannot build a skyscraper, or at least not a skyscraper that will stand for very long. Similarly, blockchain ecosystems like Bitcoin, EOS, and Ethereum are individual protocols on which developers can choose to build. The second layer of the internet, the infrastructure layer, is made up of things like internet service providers or ISPs. These are the massive multi-billion dollar companies and conglomerates like Comcast, Verizon, and Time Warner that literally built the physical infrastructure of the internet we use today. Much like the internet, there are massive giants emerging in today's crypto infrastructure industry, such as Bitcoin mining giant Bitmain, which had a net profit, yes, net profit after all expenses, of $1.1 billion in 2018 alone. Although Bitmain has suffered massive financial stress in recent times due to a failed bet on Bcash, a fork of Bitcoin, there are countless other mining companies and blockchain infrastructure companies that are running the infrastructure necessary to keep these decentralized and distributed networks online. Over the last 6 years, I have participated in dozens of blockchain networks and ecosystems, some very small and some very large. Before I dropped out of art school, I bought a small Butterfly Labs Bitcoin miner and mined Bitcoin using my dorm room's free electricity. I now run a blockchain infrastructure company called Cypherglass, which is most well known for being a founding block producer of the EOS mainnet, which is a top 10 blockchain network by market cap. Now, while there's still money to be made in the infrastructure layer, it is generally only made with significant capital investment with a very low time preference. That is, you must be willing to play the long game to make significant sums of money in the infrastructure layer. If you're not sure what time preference is, or this is one of the first times you're hearing about it, I highly recommend you check out last week's bullish episode titled Time Preference. Now, to skip ahead one layer for a moment, the top layer of the internet stack is the application layer. These are the consumer-facing apps you use on a daily basis to organize your schedule, contact friends and family, pay your bills, manage your money, order food, and so much more. Virtually every aspect of our modern lives interfaces with the application layer of the internet in some way. And as more and more of our world becomes digitized and connected, the application layer becomes a more integral and essential part of our everyday lives. But the application layer of the internet as we know it today would not be possible without a layer that the world of crypto is just now beginning to see emerge, the middleware layer. Now, the middleware layer, or platform layer, as some like to call it, is the layer of the internet that arguably ushered in mass adoption of the internet by making it easier for developers to build complex applications. You see, at one point, developers of internet applications were required to build more of the dependencies of their integral system than they do today. This resulted in many isolated developers and development teams wasting time writing fundamental code that allowed their apps to operate, rather than spending that time on the development of the actual consumer-facing applications. DApp development in the crypto space is a lot like this today, and if you're not familiar with what a DApp is, it is a decentralized application and a term I will be using often in this episode. You see, rather than spending countless hours building their actual dApps and ensuring it functions, developers are forced to architect the fundamental building blocks of their decentralized applications today. Instead of being able to pull from a plethora of developer libraries and examples like in traditional app development, in blockchain dApp development, developers are often the very first people and teams building their specific applications. When a dApp developer building a new application encounters a bug, the probability is relatively high that they are the first person or team to encounter that specific bug under that specific set of circumstances. My point is, dApp development right now is much more difficult than traditional app development. You see, it's almost like the entire crypto ecosystem skipped over this layer entirely. We went from launching protocols and building out infrastructure to support those protocols to trying to build dApps directly on those protocols during the ICO boom of 2017. ICOs, known as initial coin offerings, raised billions of dollars in projects largely from retail investors, and most of those ICOs ended up never delivering. During that crazy time, I ran a company called ICO Alert, the most comprehensive listing site for active and upcoming ICOs. We maintain data on thousands of different ICOs, so I have firsthand seen the impact that a lack of a middleware layer has had on these projects. You see, there were countless projects in 2017 that were all trying to build creative, innovative applications. There was just one problem. The developer tools and services necessary to build these applications didn't exist, and as a result, made building these applications incredibly difficult. Instead of focusing on their actual applications, most developers spent the majority of their development time trying to interface directly with the blockchain protocol of their choice. Rather than using their recently raised funds on development time to build out their application and deliver on all the features they promised their investors, many developers were stuck building out this middleware layer for their application. But even if they did manage to build out that layer, instead of sharing those connections and newly coded links with other dApp developers, many kept their code to themselves because they saw it as a competitive advantage. After all, why would you share code that took you 6 months to write, especially when you may now be one of the only functioning projects on that ecosystem because you possess that code? Ultimately, this lack of middleware and intense need for developers to spend the majority of their available time building the fundamental building blocks to allow their applications to function and interact with the protocol layer is what resulted in the failure of many of these ICOs. While I believe the supermajority of ICOs that raised money in 2017 and later even in 2018 truly intended to deliver on their promises, most simply couldn't due to this missing middleware layer. So, as we look back on a plethora of failed projects from 2017, how much closer are we to filling the void of this missing layer? How much closer are we to mimicking the development environment of traditional applications and making it easier for developers to focus on building their apps instead of wasting time architecting the fundamental building blocks that make them possible? One of the most shielded projects from 2017 is a project called Chainlink, which begins to fill this void. Chainlink is a self-described decentralized Oracle service which aims to connect smart contracts with data from the real world. Since blockchains can't access data outside their network, oracles are needed to function as data feeds in smart contracts. Oracles provide external data like temperature or weather that trigger smart contract executions upon the fulfillment of predefined conditions. Participants on the Chainlink network are incentivized through rewards to provide smart contracts with access to external data feeds. This could be a decentralized app like a prediction market where two parties bet on the outcome of a specific event. For example, will it rain in New York City tomorrow? Yes or no. But in order to validate whether it rained in New York City or not, that blockchain needs an oracle to give them the answer. Without these oracles, so many blockchain applications are just simply not possible, and oracles are even one layer of the middleware stack that many development teams found themselves stuck building because it just simply didn't exist back in 2017 after they raised millions of dollars through an initial coin offering. You see, Chainlink is one of many great examples of a service in this missing middleware layer of crypto because there were dozens, if not hundreds, of teams trying to figure out how to build oracles back in 2017 and 2018 to allow their dApps to function. But rather than building their actual dApps, they were forced to solve complex problems like figuring out how to trustlessly pipe in data from an external non-blockchain source. But oracles are just one middleware service that needs to be created to make dApps easier for developers to build. We need things like distributed storage, transaction schedulers, cross-chain communication so that you know what's going on another blockchain, easy user account onboarding, and so much more. But fortunately for dApp developers everywhere, and to the surprise of most that are unaware in the crypto community, there is a team building these exact tools, which plans to build many more for virtually every blockchain that exists today. The team is Liquid Apps, and the missing layer they are building is known as the dApp network. You see, the dApp network goes beyond the offerings of Chainlink, which is ultimately just an Oracle service, to offering a suite of middleware services that make the lives of developers so much easier. These services currently include a Liquid Authenticator, which allows for authentication of off-chain APIs, Liquid Scheduler to allow you to schedule transactions on a blockchain network, Liquid DNS to allow a hosted DNS service on top of the dApp network, Liquid Archive, which is history API provisioning, Liquid VRAM, which was a virtual memory service that can already dramatically reduce the cost of running a decentralized application. For example, Karma, which is a popular social network dApp on EOS, was able to reduce their costs from more than $800 per week to less than a dollar. Yes, less than a dollar per week by utilizing this single dApp network service known as Liquid VRAM. The dApp network also includes services like Liquid Log, which is a log service, Liquid Oracle, which is that Oracle service similar to Chainlink that also allows for cross-chain communication, Liquid Lens, which is a read function service to read the content on other blockchains, and of course Liquid Link, which is an incredible new inter-blockchain communication multi-sig service that opens up blockchains like Ethereum to the world of EOS and vice versa. Now, whether the dApp network will extend to multiple networks in the future remains to be seen, but based on tweets from the team, I would say it is almost a certainty. In addition to all of this, the dApp network also includes services like Liquid Storage, which is distributed storage and hosting built on IPFS, and Liquid Accounts, which are right now specific to EOS and allow users to interact with dApps without paying to create an EOS account, which is one of the most highly criticized aspects of the EOS mainnet today. What is amazing about the dApp network to me is not just that they are aiming to build this entire missing layer of middleware services, but that they are doing it so quickly and with such success. The dApp network was launched not back in 2017 or 2018 through an ICO, but instead the dApp network was launched this year on February 26th, almost exactly 6 months ago from the time this podcast is released. That initial launch started with just one of those services I just mentioned, Liquid VRAM, and in the months following the launch, the team has managed to add almost a dozen new services that dApp developers are actively integrating today. It's incredibly interesting to think about what might have happened to the hundreds of failed ICOs had something like the dApp network existed back in 2017. Would developers have been able to realize the grand visions of their dApps rather than spending the majority of their time trying to build these fundamental building blocks? Now, while we can't go back in time and see this alternate timeline, it will be fascinating to watch the dApp network bring dApps to life over the coming months and years as it matures and helps to scale virtually every blockchain protocol that exists today. The one Achilles heel of every blockchain network out there, scalability, can be solved by the dApp network in a way that is still distributed and trustless. Things that used to pose significant problems for dApp developers are now easy to integrate thanks to the dApp network and their incredible team. Now, the dApp network is still in alpha and will almost certainly continue to surprise us as it enters beta and eventually a full-blown release. I'll be following the project in more detail and covering the incredibly talented team, some of which that have a deep, deep background in computer science, on the Cypherglass YouTube channel with an in-depth dApp network series, so be sure to subscribe to Cypherglass, Cypherglass on YouTube to catch that series when it goes live later this year. Ultimately, services like Chainlink and the dApp network are building out this missing layer of crypto, offering a light at the end of the tunnel for dApp developers who previously thought they'd be trapped underground with their ideas forever, with no real way to bring them into reality. One thing ultimately is for sure, this missing layer of crypto has the potential to not only make existing dApps easier for developers to deliver on, but also has the potential to usher in a golden age of mainstream mass adoption in a very similar way to the internet more than 20 years ago. How it will unfold remains to be seen, but I am incredibly bullish on this missing layer of crypto and all of the work being done at the dApp network. Imagine a world where building a decentralized application and deploying it across multiple blockchains is just as easy as it is to deploy a traditional application today. Imagine the talent that would come into the space. Imagine the applications we would see launch. Imagine the mainstream adoption phase that could be ushered in thanks to that missing layer finally being filled. This potential future world where dApp development is the standard is what makes me so incredibly bullish on the dApp network and this missing middleware layer that they are building out for dApps on virtually every single blockchain. And as a result, then finally makes me bullish again on that layer that everyone knows and uses every day, the application layer. The future for crypto is bullish, and now even more bullish, thanks to the work of the Liquid Apps team and their dApp network, which is filling this void that has been left empty for so long. I'll see you all here next week for another new episode, so be sure to subscribe, and remember, stay bullish. If you enjoyed this episode of Bullish, please let me know by tweeting me at Finchify, F-I-N-C-H-I-F-Y, on Twitter, and let me know what you liked about this episode. I am super excited about this new experimental podcast format where I can do so many different things all related to the crypto space. It gives me a lot of freedom to share my thoughts, and I'm glad that you all are enjoying it so much. Remember, Bullish is now available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and everywhere podcasts are found. But if you don't see it in your favorite podcast app yet, tweet me at Finchify on Twitter, and I will make sure it gets in there. Remember, stay bullish, and I'll see you next time.